The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
Good afternoon on this Monday afternoon. How are you? And that's a loaded question. If you want to contact the programme, 51551 ray@rte.ie for anything that's on your mind. I was coming into work today and I was thinking to myself, that's quieter than Christmas Day. And I thought to myself, actually, it's quieter. It's quieter than that again. And I was trying to think back to a time when the roads were as eerily empty and the noises around were all just birds because the construction had stopped up in UCD. And I thought back to a day in 1979 when I was up the town in Kildare and the Pope was in Phoenix Park. And it was like everybody else in the town had gone to the Pope because he was only 30 minutes up the road. Well, probably an hour up the road back in the day because you had to go to Newbridge and Naas and all that. And I was there in the town for some reason. I think I was holding out for the big mass in Ballybrit, which all the young people went to. And I remember being up the town in Kildare and not a car on the road. And that was a time when over 20,000 cars passed through Kildare town a day because we were on the main road to Cork and Limerick. And that's what it's like. That's what it's like. That's how quiet it is. Strange days indeed, to quote John Lennon. One of the good things, I suppose, is that you're at home and you're emailing and texting. And thanks for all the emails we got into Ray at RTE over the weekend. Keane O'Neill was on to us from London. And he says, I trust this finds you and yours well. I'm a Carlingford man who moved to London years ago. I live in the east end of the city and the city is eerily quiet, like all cities and towns these days. Notwithstanding the preoccupations of career and city life, being away from home is never easy. And the benefits of the city are no substitute for one's own country and the people that make it. After cancelling my trip home for St. Patrick's Day, in case I would bring something unpleasant back to see my mother, whose age shall not be revealed, I've been isolating like everyone else for nearly a fortnight now, and with all the kerfuffle, hadn't thought straight enough to just put the radio on whilst working from home. Anyway, turned on radio the other day, I was listening to your show, and the lovely barber you had on towards the end of the show was a real balm. That was Paddy Joe Burke, the Roscommon barber, and he was a real balm. I heard movingly warm humour, sincerity, Dukas in some. That's what it was, Dukas. I plan on keeping you on as long as I'm here. Work, laptop on the sofa, an Irishman away from home, enjoying the radio. Thanks to you and your team. Take care of yourselves. That's Keane O'Neill. Thanks for that, Keane. Thank you very much. And Maria says, as a fan of Operation Transformation, I'm contacting you as it strikes me you may be able to help. My 84-year-old mum in Wexford is self-isolating. Well, they're calling it cocooning now for over 2 weeks, as is her 95-year-old sister in Tipperary. They both live alone, listen to the radio and watch TV a lot these days, as do a lot of people. While both are independent, they don't get out now with family members delivering groceries, etc. The weather isn't yet quite warm enough for mum to spend time in the garden and her sister doesn't have a garden. They were chatting on the phone last week when my aunt suggested it would be great if RTE did a 10 or 20 minute slot every day with exercise routines suitable for older viewers. If it is possible, it might even work as a twice daily morning afternoon slot to also put some routine into their day. Good idea. Beyond the 1 o'clock and 6 o'clock news bulletins. While there are lots of online solutions to this problem, that's not an option for either of them as they use the basic call, text, mobile phones. I did try another RTE email last week, but haven't heard back from them as yet. Appreciate that all are very busy. And by the way, providing a fantastic service for $13.33 a month. Is that 160 divided by 12? But we need to look after our older, now isolated people. I wasn't sure who best to direct this to, but maybe you could draw on your OT team experience. Now, there's two things there. Coincidentally, I was talking to my mother this morning. I says, how are you? What are you up to? You're cocooning and all that. And she says, I've just done my workout. I said, what? I don't think I've ever heard that sentence come out of my mother's mouth before. She says, yes, I've just done a Joe Wicks workout, no less. Joe Wicks? I didn't know she knew Joe Wicks. And then I Googled it. And this isn't for your mum and her sister because they're not online. But if you are online, Joe Wicks, the body coach, very popular with the young people. Since last week, he has a 10-minute workout for seniors. So that's there. My mother's doing it. And she's only done it once. And then, coincidentally, Greg was on. He says, my name is Greg and I'm the owner of High Definition Fitness Gym in Blessing in County Wicklow. We are Facebook live streaming free chair aerobic sessions for seniors every Monday, Wednesday and Friday at 12 o'clock. If you give it a mention, that would be much appreciated, as I'm trying to get as many seniors active as possible during these difficult times. But I'm with you, Maria. I think RTE should do something. And I'm sure Carl Henry would step up to the plate and help them out on this. So we'll put a call in to the Operation Transformation people and maybe to Carl Henry and see what they can do. The school hub started today. I saw the beginning of it there. I was working from home this morning. So I saw Moontor Ray was on. He was the first teacher on the school hub. And he'll be featured in Reeling in the Years and Years to Come. It sort of kept Tom's attention. He's seven. Probably was a bit above his head, I think. Anyway, it's a great service there. 11 o'clock every day on RTE2. RTE2. So, Maria, stay with us and we'll work on that. But a great idea. Mary is one as well. She says, just heard you talk about a listener who visited an aunt in the country who baked bread in the pan over the fire. My mum used to make this bread in the fabulous black cast iron frying pan that she had. She would bake it on top of the electric cooker. She called it a griddle cake. We were mentioning this last week. It was flatter than the usual bread. And when she would turn it, she'd dot butter all over it and then it would melt into the bread. It was delicious. She also baked white soda bread with sour milk, but that was in the oven. Always with the sign of the cross on the top. Very cunning. Mary, I found out, because I baked again over the weekend, yeah, soda bread with raisins and sultanas. And I was reading somewhere about that cross and the bread, and everybody thought it was a religious thing. It wasn't a religious thing at all. It was to aerate the bread. So you cut down into the bread, sign of the cross. People thought it was religious. It wasn't. It was physics. And whatever turned you on. I see Brian O'Driscoll has admitted, now that he's painted the shed and done the garden, cleaned out everything else, that he's taken to baking. I'm doing this sourdough starter, lads. I didn't know a sourdough starter existed, but if you want to make sourdough bread and you don't want to use yeast, you can do it yourself. It's a 7-day process. It's a 7-day process. So I'm on day 4 today. So you start off with your whole meal and you're playing flour and water. You put it into a jar and then it expands. And then on day 3, you take out most of it, leave 50 grams, and then you feed it. You feed it. That's the expression. You feed the sourdough starter. So you put more flour and more water into the jar, and you put an elastic band around the jar to make sure that you know when it expands. So that's where it's at the moment. Day 4, sourdough starter. So at the end of this week, or maybe into next week, I might have something called sourdough bread. It'd be terrible if it didn't work out. After all that investment of time and effort and emotion. Anyway, we've loads of time in our hands at the moment, don't we? Loads of time in our hands. Yeah, I was just seeing there as well that exercising can help boost immune system. So it is important. And I know people have to cocoon. I was listening to Liveline there, but you have to get a bit of exercise in. And there are loads of workouts there if you're online, that Joe Wicks one there. And we're getting on to the people in TV to see if they can put one on to terrestrial television. Spare a thought for Dr. Daniel Reardon. Daniel Reardon is an astrophysicist and he works in Melbourne University. And in fairness to him, he thought that he would invent something to prevent people touching their faces, because we've been told constantly to wash our hands and to not touch our faces, because that's how the coronavirus goes from A to B, from one person to another. So he came up with this idea, and he admits that he didn't have a lot of experience with electronic equipment. But the idea was that he'd wear a necklace around his neck and a wristband. And the theory was that when the wristband broke the magnetic field created by the necklace, that a buzzer would sound. You see? So if you went to touch your face, bzz, and you wouldn't touch your face. He didn't get it right. The buzzer kept going all the time. So he scrapped that idea. But he was still a bit bored and he was playing with magnets. And it's the same logic, he says, as clipping pegs to your ears. I don't get this, but this is what he says. I clipped them to my earlobes, the magnets, and then clipped them to my nostril. And things went downhill pretty quickly when I clipped the magnets to my other nostril. So he placed two magnets inside his nostrils and two on the outside. Are you with me? And when he removed the magnets from the outside of his nose, guess what happened? The two magnets inside stuck together. They stuck together. So at this point, my partner who works at the hospital was laughing at me. I was trying to pull them out, but there was a ridge at the bottom of the nose. So he Googled it And he found an article about an 11-year-old boy who had the same problem. And the solution, more magnets. So put magnets on the outside to offset the pull of the ones on the inside. So as he was pulling the two magnets on the outside down to get the magnets on the inside out, what happened? He lost his grip and the magnets went up his nose again. Then he got a pliers to pull them out and they became magnetised by the magnets inside his nose, which made the magnets go further up his nose. So every time, he says, this is a quote, every time I brought the pliers close to my nose, my entire nose would shift towards the pliers and then the pliers would stick to the magnet. It was a little bit painful at this point. So his partner took him to the hospital where she works because she wanted all her colleagues to laugh at him. And the diagnosis was, this is an injury due to self-isolation and boredom. The moral of the story is, be careful with magnets and nostrils. They don't mix. Ask Dr. Daniel Reardon. He'll laugh about that in years to come. Hello, so somebody on 51551. It's very quiet in Kells County Meath. I'm out in the garden with my dog Ginger. That's Deirdre. How are you doing, Deirdre? And Sligo Cathedral is offering a chair exercise programme on webcam from the altar after 10:30 Mass, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Great to see church moving forward in these difficult times. Great idea. And I'm sure RTE could also do something about putting some decent movies on TV for older people, even a few Doris Day movies to put older people in better form. That's a great idea, isn't it? I know people have Netflix and Amazon, but maybe older people don't. Well, Marie, you're right there, because the statistics would show that it's the younger generations have Netflix and the older people don't. So that's a brilliant idea. Yes, Ray, the school hub was great. If RTE can do school on the television for our children, then they can definitely provide exercise programming for our wonderful cocooning senior citizens. Hopefully something will come of this idea now that it's been raised with Carl Hendry and the Operation Transformation team. Keep up the good work. That's from Catherine. She's a teacher in Harold's Cross in Dublin. I'm trying to find out about cocooning. I'm over 70 and wife is 65. Does that mean separate sleeping rooms? Don't think so. You've been living together up until now. It means that you can't go out, but she can. Ray, can I imagine you and your sourdough at the miracle of the loaves and the fishes? Hold on there, lad. We'll have bread in 7 days. I just have to feed this sourdough starter here. Yeah. I was trying to tell Tom about it yesterday. It's 7. Yeah, right there. Where's me Lego? Anyway, 51551, ray@rte.ie. Today, on the All-Ireland Quiz. Fermanagh takes on Monaghan. So if you live or were born in Fermanagh or Monaghan and you want to step up to the plate and fly the county flag, we're looking for you today on 1850 715900. That's 1850 715900. It's Fermanagh and Monaghan, please, in the All-Ireland Quiz. There you go. And that's coming up after 4 o'clock. Conor Pope will be here after 4 o'clock as well. And we were talking to him last week about getting your money back if you booked a holiday or a flight. And loads of people probably would have booked Easter holidays. They're not going to happen now. So if you want any advice or if you want any of your questions answered, get them into us now for Conor, ray@rte.ie. Good afternoon. I don't normally like, you know, enforced positivity, but that came up on the Spotify playlist over the weekend. I thought, oh yeah, just play that. It's nice. Nice song. Mary Burns went on. She says, please, can you tell me where to find the instructions for making the sourdough starter I've heard you talking about? I can't find it and in desperate need right now for some delicious sourdough bread. Well, right now, there's no right now with sourdough because it'll take you 7 days. Anyway, what'll I tell you, Mary? Little Spoon, that's for Little Spoon Farm. That's the one I'm working off, but there are loads of them online. Little Spoon Farm. And good luck with the starter, sourdough starter. It took me 3 months of abysmal failure before I finally got a working starter. I have to say, it was worth the wait. Now have a wonderful working starter. So you keep the starter. Yeah, it's all very complicated. If not ready in 1 week, keep going. It might need another few days. Keep feeding until the float test works. Put a little starter into a cup of cold water. It should float. If it doesn't, keep on trying. Yeah. Anne Brannigan here, currently cocooning in Bear Island. Oh, that's a lovely part of the country. I remember the night of the turning of the millennium. I was returning home from visiting my father in the hospice in Raheny. There was no traffic and no sound. A really eerie atmosphere. It was very unexpected, as I thought it would be the opposite. Thanks. Yeah. And Vanessa in Waterford. How are you doing, Vanessa? Do you know if RTE will show some of the old comedy series like Only Fools and Horses and Fawlty Towers and old Mike Murphy shows to get us all through this and make us laugh instead of the soaps? Well, the soaps are going to continue, and I'm sure for a lot of people, they're what's keeping them going. I'm sure they'll be changing the schedule as we go through this. Who is it? It's Pauline O'Brien from Cambridgeshire in the UK. Delighted to hear you mention Kildare Town. I know it so well, as we visited often as children, as my grandparents lived in Lourdesville. Ah, Lourdesville. I remember you well as well, the discos and the bonbon. The bonbon was the local chipper. It was a sweet shop, and then behind the sweet shop there was a chipper. And the best chips in Kildare Town. Well, for a long time, it was the only chipper in Kildare Town, so there was no competition. Anyway, 51551, ray@rte.ie. Monaghan v Fermanagh in today's first round All-Ireland quiz. So we're looking for people from Fermanagh, please. 51551, ray@rte.ie. Or you can use the phone, 1850 715900. That's 1850 715900. People from Fermanagh and Monaghan, and we'll have you on air after 4 o'clock.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
551. Now, I rarely see the Today Show for obvious reasons, but I'm told that every day at 3:35 they have an exercise slot. I don't know exactly what it is, but you could tune in today to Dahi and Maura and see what they have to offer when it comes to exercise. So there's a way of getting it on terrestrial TV, and let us know how you get on. On sourdough starters, I'm fascinated by this, I have to say. I know you may not be fascinated, but it's the fact that this time last week I didn't know what a sourdough starter was. Greetings from Rhode Island. A sourdough starter sounded like a good diversion during our self-isolation here in the smallest state in the USA. So we set out to start the process of baking a lovely load of bread with all those important trace elements of nutrition that kept the Irish miners healthy in the Klondike during the gold rush. The dough seemed to be going along on as described in the recipe, growing slowly, and on about day 8, it literally erupted out of the jar all over the kitchen counter. We took a little bit of that, started a new jar, and thought we were back on track to a lovely warm loaf of bread eventually. However, after a repeat eruption, we cut out our losses, threw it out, and decided to save the flour for some chocolate chip cookies. There's no flour in the supermarkets here. Perhaps sourdough starters as popular as jigsaws. I have a few of them too. I'd be interested to hear how all the other sourdough neophytes make out. All the best, Elizabeth Cuddy, Lincoln, Rhode Island, and Raheny. So we have a sourdough starter and a jigsaw at home now. That sourdough starter needs constant looking after. Even if you go on holidays, my friend in London tells me there are people who run hotels that will mind your starter while you go abroad. So it's... You use it over and over again. Somebody will have to explain this to me. I thought you once you got one, you just used it, made a loaf of bread, and then you had to start again. But obviously, if you have this sourdough starter, you can pick bits out of it. And is that the way it works? Well, somebody, please tell me. We might get Anne-Marie Dunn on before the end of the week to explain it all to me. Was it Friday evening? It was announced, among other things, that people over 70 had to cocoon. And one of those people is Mary O'Rourke, and she's on the line now. How are you doing, Mary?
Hi, Ray. Cocoon is such a lovely word, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, you think of a baba, or you think of somebody warm and cosy, but it's so much different when you're over of a certain age, and when you are told to stay, don't leave your house. Oh, I can't believe how limiting that is,
yes,
on anyone, you know.
Is it the removal of choice, Mary?
Is it what?
The removal of choice. You don't have a choice anymore.
No, I've no choice. You've got to stay put, and that's it. And you can't see anyone, and that's it. Imagine, Ray, not being able to talk to people. Well, I'm talking to you,
yes,
and I can ring my friends, and they can ring me, but not to have a person in front of you, you know, a real live person, and never to see them. Oh, don't talk to me. But we'll have to get over it. It's for the better good, you see.
It is.
I keep saying that. And it is true, it is. I bet this will work. This total lockdown will work.
I think the government are playing a blinder. And,
well, I do too.
I was reading a lot of international news over the weekend. And our mortality rates, and it's very sad for the families who've lost people.
Oh, yeah.
Very sad. But our mortality rates are very low. They compare very well to the rest of the world. So we're doing something right at the moment, and let's hope it continues.
Yes, I think so too. And every time I see Leo or Simon or Dr. Houlihan, who's great, he's like what a GP used to be and should be. Everyone's favourite GP is Dr. Houlihan. And I don't know how he's keeping it up. I thought he got very thin lately in his face. I thought he showed what he was going through, you know.
Yes.
And the same with Simon Harris. Do you see the grey pieces in his hair? And he's that only early 30s. Imagine.
Well, it's very stressful times for them,
for
everybody involved and people in the health service.
And I don't know how they're keeping it up, but it's everybody. Yeah. I mean, you look at the hospital, from the cleaner in the hospital to the top consultant, every one of them are working flat out. And I mean, we cannot thank them enough. Now, I know you feel like that too, but I don't get a chance to say it, but I'm saying it now. I think they're all fantastic.
Yeah.
I do read. When all I have to do is to sit tight in my nice house and just talk and read and think and write and talk and read and think,
think
and
write. What was your life like, say, last week now? Because we spoke to you the week before.
Last week, before the
new restrictions were introduced.
Well, I didn't know myself. I got into my car every day. And you remember there were those lovely sunny days.
Yes.
And I went out to the Hudson Bay. Which is about 4 miles from here. Even if you're allowed to drive now, it wouldn't be in the mileage. Anyway, I would find a vacant bench looking out at the water because they had taken down. You see, the floods had newly come in and they had sort of temporary bulwarks up, but they had those down. And I would have my glasses for reading. I'd have my newspapers and I'd sit on the bench and I'd think about things and, you know, all that and read my papers and then take my time coming back into town again and smile and wave at people. And there were people out. I believe there's nobody out now. Absolutely
no.
Nobody.
No, it's eerie. It's eerie, Mary.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah,
very eerie.
Yeah.
And the whole of Athlone is just deserted.
We've never seen anything like this before.
So, no, and I can never. Only what you read about in the Spanish epidemic, the Spanish flu.
Yeah, but it was a different time completely. You know, a different time.
Completely. But I do think the government, to go back to what you said, I do think whether I like it or not, or people of my political persuasion like it or not, they are playing very well for the country. They're really working hard for the country.
How did you feel when you heard that restriction on Friday night?
Oh, my heart sank. It just did. And I remember my son rang me in a few minutes when the speech by Leo was over. And he said, well, Ma, that's you quarantined now.
Yeah.
And I said, are you sure, Angus? Oh, they spelt it out. He said, Ma, you have to stay put. And you cannot go anywhere and you cannot have anyone into the house apart from someone to help you who's of the caring variety, if someone like that. And myself, of course, he said, I can call, but that's it.
Why can he call?
Well, he's my son, you know.
I know, but he doesn't live with you.
No, he doesn't live with me, but he does call. And he checked it out and he is allowed to call.
Is he?
Yeah.
Sure now?
Yes. Ah, he is, yeah. He's allowed to call.
And he goes into the house, does he?
He comes in and sits 6 foot apart.
Right.
Yeah. 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 And we converse a little bit and then he goes off with himself.
I know a lot of people wouldn't do that.
Yeah, well, he also brings me food.
Yes, I know. But a lot of people would just leave it at the doorstep and then go off.
Maybe that's what we'll get to tomorrow.
Yes, I don't know. Yeah. No, it's interesting because even listening to Liveline there, people's understanding of it are different.
Yeah, there are lots of little kind of nuanced grey areas, yeah. I think, but within it, aren't there? Yes.
Well, I don't think there are, you see. I think people choose to understand it, whatever suits them anyway. There you go.
Whatever suits them, yes, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And how are you occupying your days, Mary?
Oh, I'm reading a lot, reading an immense amount of books. For Mother's Day, I was glad I got two big tomes altogether. Hilary Mantel's first two books, yeah. Bring Up Woodfall and Bring Up the Bodies. She got the Booker Prize for both of those. But so I have to start those. And then
And she's new one out when you finish those two.
Oh, yeah. They'd be great reading. And I have my newspapers, of course. And I listen to the radio. I listen to you. And I do. Not every station. No. But I do listen to you, obviously. Yeah. And I like your programme. And then I look at Maura and Dahi.
Yeah.
You talked about it a while ago.
And do you do the exercises with them? Because this is hugely important now that people can't go out for their walk.
No, but I've worked out my own little bit of exercise. I live in a bungalow, first of all, which is great as you're getting
older. And
what
do you do?
But I'm in the living room now as I'm talking to you, and then my bedroom is down a corridor, quite a little bit of a corridor. So every so often, about every 20 minutes, I say, oh, I must go down to the bedroom. I forgot something. And I go down, and then I say when I get down there, oh, I can't remember what I came down for. And then I walk back up again. But it's that bit of exercise. And I do that about every 20 minutes.
Oh,
otherwise,
good.
Your feet would freeze up.
Yes.
And then in sunshine then, if I thought there'd be sunshine today, I go out and do a bit of a walk in the back garden, you know, say hello to the birds. They're on the trees and they're busy, busy. The birds don't know anything about coronavirus. They're just busy building nests and swooping around and talking to one another. They're great, really. And then I walk around and I come back in again. So I'm keeping moving like that. But it's unbelievable not to be able to. Like, it is a great restriction and necessary.
Yes.
Restriction, absolutely necessary. But it is a restriction.
And at times like now, you appreciate that you have a garden. You know,
oh, yeah. Now, it's not a great big garden.
No, but it can get out.
There's a bit of grass, yeah. And I have a lovely plant that someone gave me at Christmas. And they said that'll last now, I suppose, a month or so. And it has really, it's an orchid.
Right.
And it's not alone has it lasted, but it has sprouted a whole lot of beautiful pink new orchids on it.
Nice.
And I'm looking at that daily and thinking, isn't that just marvellous?
Yeah, life goes on.
Life goes on, yes.
Now, have you ever made a sourdough starter?
No, but I'm listening away there to you. You were talking about
I'll send you a picture of mine in a jar, Mary.
And you put it in a jar.
You put it in a jar and it's supposed to naturally develop yeast. I think that's the idea. Over 7 days.
And did you do it?
I'm on day four, Mary. I'm on day four.
And what happened when the 7 days are up?
But then you can use it to make sourdough bread.
I love sourdough.
Yeah, there you go.
I buy it in my Super Value.
Yeah.
That's when I'm around.
When you're around, you can get your son to drop it in.
But
Mary,
yeah,
we have to go.
We'll talk again.
We'll talk to you next week.
From one cocoon outwards. Goodbye.
Thanks, Mary. That's Mary O'Rourke there. Yeah, 51551 Ray at RTE.ie.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Or Ray at RTE.ie. Maureen says, I love Mary O'Rourke. She really lifts my spirit. You should speak to her once a week. I think we might. Eileen Gilroy in Hoth. Hi, Eileen. As an alternative to sourdough and taking very little time to make by comparison, look up the recipe for griddle bread. Foolproof and delicious. Keep baking and cooking. You can make your own version of by adding healthy seeds. Yeah. And would you give a shout out to my sixth-year students of Spanish in St. Peter's College, Dunboyne, who are being very patient with me as I navigate this remote learning adventure. They are staying motivated despite the uncertainties and they're a super bunch. Muchas gracias, says Edine Flood. That's a great Spanish name. Greetings from Astoria, Queens, New York City. I'm in the epicenter of the pandemic and I'm looking for a recipe for a good coddle. I'm originally from Ballybock and I'm here 32 years. Anto. So can you help Anto out? He's looking for a recipe for coddle. Do you fry? You'd have to fry the sausages first. Those pink sausages, if you just put them straight in, they boil, not good. But if you just fry them, brown them up a little bit, then put them into your coddle, that's fine. And there's loads of sourdough comments there. Now, we spotted an article in the Irish Times on Friday which referenced a social media blog or something that a principal of Ennis Educate Together National School had put out about homeschooling. And we decided we'd get her on the line, and she is on the line. Katrina Golden, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ray.
Thanks for taking our call. So you struck a chord with a lot of people because you were sort of saying relax. I don't think you actually used that word, but that's what emanated from between the lines to me. Relax, relax, relax. Would that be fair?
Yeah, very fair. Just take a deep breath and keep perspective.
Yes, and you have a problem with the word homeschooling. Explain that to me.
I do. Well, for me, homeschooling is something that someone chooses, and no one chose this. This was thrown on all of us very suddenly. We're not prepared for it. Parents, kids, teachers, schools. So when you have parents thinking, oh, I now need to homeschool my child, that comes with a huge amount of pressure that they don't need to be feeling right now.
Yes.
So I just want to kind of shift it to think, this isn't homeschooling, this is a pandemic. This is you doing some stuff at home with your kid if you can. But it's not now your job to teach them the entire curriculum.
And you mentioned it there, the thoughts of having three children in different years of primary school and trying to manage that and probably working from home on top of it.
Yeah, it's completely unrealistic. And what I was seeing online and what kind of led to the post was huge levels of worry and anxiety and guilt, and parent guilt at the best of time doesn't serve any purpose. And right now, even more so. So just for people to realise what is being expected by some or by themselves is unattainable. And just give yourself a break.
What sort of school is an Educate Together National School? How many pupils?
We're small enough. We're about 80 kids at the moment.
Right. And are you sending out work for the children to do?
We are. We're sending out some work packs. We're a disadvantaged school, so we're going solely physical because a lot of our kids wouldn't have access to devices. And that's a huge challenge for parents, even where they do have a laptop themselves. They might be using it for work. So trying to juggle that. So we're sending some physical work, but it's all completely optional. There's nothing required. It's not mandatory.
Yeah. What about parents who are worried that their child will fall behind if they don't do the work that's sent out?
I guess just to remember, we're all in this. It's affecting everyone. So yes, come September, whenever we end up back in school before that, the kids are going to be in a different place than they would be in your average year. But teachers are going to have to adapt to that. So yes, we'll all be a bit behind where we would have been, but there are more important things to think about right now. And long term, over the course of their education career, they'll catch up.
Yes. They will catch up, won't they? Yeah.
They will.
It's a glitch, really. And we're talking about primary school at the moment now, because it's probably slightly different for secondary school.
It's certainly different for towards leaving certain years.
Yes.
And it's a different level of worry around the uncertainty there. But yeah, primary kids specifically, they'll be fine.
What about parents trying to explain? Like, I was doing maths with my 13-year-old over the weekend, and it's like teaching somebody to drive. It can get a little bit fractious. Because I didn't train to be a teacher. I don't know if you know that,
exactly.
Katrina.
And that's it. It's that choice part of it. You're not teachers. You're not qualified to do this.
Yeah.
You're just there to try to help if you can. But if it gets to the point where it's causing fights and anxiety in the house, stop. Because that's not helping anyone. And it's certainly not going to help the learning.
So what do you recommend then? Do you recommend they do anything at all if they don't want to?
I think it very much depends on the family, and I wouldn't be saying you have to do this or you have to do that. The very different circumstances, people who are both working from home and just anything to keep the kids going, if you keep them alive and you keep them feeling safe, well done, high five, move on.
That's good parenting. That's good parenting.
If your child comes out of this emergency situation feeling like they were safe and they were loved, you've won. The rest is all just add-on stuff.
Yeah.
Now, some parents, the structure of having some work to do will really help them to get through it. So I'm not saying don't do it. And the RTE homeschool on TV today sounds like it was incredibly popular and very well done. So something like that, great. But if you've decided that works for your family is doing a bit of baking and playing in the back garden and reading some stories and maybe writing a journal, then go with that.
Yeah,
and just leave the guilt behind.
And you don't want the schoolwork, whatever it may be, to add to the anxiety that's already
absolutely
there.
Not.
Yeah. And what about from a teacher's point of view? Because, you know, there's no precedent for this. We know that. So there are no guidelines, no rules. You're sort of making it up as you go along, I would imagine.
Absolutely. We're just trying to figure it out. And all of the staff, and I'm very aware all of my staff as well, they have their own kids at home who they're trying to juggle the same things with and then work on supporting their students as well. So schools will do things differently, different contexts, different levels of training, different access to devices. Try to avoid the comparisons. You know, this school down the road is doing this, my school's doing this. It's not going to help right now.
And of course, then there are inter-parent comparisons as well, which are all over social media, which makes it difficult for people.
Yeah, I'd personally be recommending mute the WhatsApp group if it's causing any anxiety. You can come back to it later.
Yeah.
But everyone's circumstances are so different. There's no point worrying about what they can do next door.
Yeah. And what's your situation? What are your circumstances?
I have a three-year-old at home, so working from home is working very well. And my husband's working from home as well, so we're juggling.
Yeah, yeah.
We get done what we can.
I'm sure the three-year-old is delighted to have you around, and that's a positive that comes out of all of this, isn't it?
Oh, some really good quality time.
Yeah.
Now I think he's all so sick of us.
Already?
And really wants to see his friends from creche again. And that's the main thing your kids are missing, that social interaction. So if they can make a phone call to friends or have a chat to friends over any of the platforms, that'll probably do them a lot better than any worry about work.
Yeah. And listen, thanks for taking time out to talk to us. Katrina Golden, Principal of Ennis Educate Together National School. Mind yourself and stay safe. Thanks, Katrina.
Thanks, Ray.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
We got an email in from Sweden, from Peter. How are you doing, Peter? Originally from Mullingar, I think the Irish government is doing a great job taking the situation seriously and keeping mortality rates down. I'm a secondary school teacher, and here in Sweden, it's business as usual. Madness, says Peter. I'm still expected to go to work, and shops and bars and restaurants are still open. Meanwhile, the amount of deaths rise. Anyway, take care, and a big hello to my mother, Frances, sisters Claire and Karen, my brother Liam, and their families. And there will be a huge global sort of, I suppose, post-mortem debriefing after all this is over. And they will be able to measure what effects various restrictions had, because they'll have different countries to compare and contrast. And there'll be a huge body of scientific work done after all this is over, which will, I suppose, prepare us better for the next time it happens. And all the signs are that it will. They're saying, I read this over the weekend as well, that we're messing with the ecosystem, and that's part of the reason we're going to have more and more of these pandemics. Cheery, says you, I know. Now, when you have your sourdough starter ready to use, you should have enough to make a loaf, and then the remainder you keep in the fridge until the next time you want to make a loaf. Then you take it out of the fridge and you feed it again. Feed me! To activate it in order to use it again. And this is the process. It's all about timing the feeding of the starter right and getting it to float to the float stage for use. See, the whole world and you're nothing about. Did I just hear you say fry sausages before putting them in a coddle? Absolutely not. Have you ever eaten a coddle? I have. Nothing but nothing is fried in a Dublin coddle. Even sausages. says Jean in Maynooth. Well, Jeannie, you see, you eat with your eyes, and just the sight of a pink sausage floating, and it just, sorry. Anyway, it was nice. It was nice. I closed my eyes. What a sensible woman and principal teacher. A rock of good sense. This is a time for character building, becoming a better citizen. Read, read, read. Learn to play an instrument online. Teach another child to play your instrument. Construct family histories. Interview grandparents about their childhood online if necessary. Grow things in the garden. It's spring. There are endless possibilities. Things outside the box. Delete the WhatsApp groups. Let the children be children and be educated as opposed to taught. Well done to this wise mother. That's Gerard Kelly in Ballygar, County Galway. Former teacher and principal. Gerard, you'll probably like our next guest, Cúnac McGann. How are you doing, Cúnac?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Good to talk to you. Now, is that...
Good to talk to you too.
Is there a delay between me and you?
Oh, gosh. I hope not.
No, not too much. Not too much. Now, we spoke to you before about your book, Red Rover, Red Rover. Calling Ray Darcy over. Games from an Irish Childhood. So it's your time again, Cúnac. It's your time again. Because people are looking for ways to entertain and occupy their children. And we don't have a lot of... We have a lot of time, but we don't have a lot of access to anything else. So time is what we...
Yeah.
We're time rich now. So what do you suggest?
Well, you know, when I wrote my book originally, it was kind of harking back to the days when we were all out in the fields all day. But there's quite a few of them that can be kind of converted to the current restrictions.
Right.
So you have things like classic games, so like hopscotch.
Uh-huh.
So we used to play that. We used to play that out on the street. And if you had a little bit of chalk, you'd draw out the boxes and the numbers and off you go. And nowadays, if you've got a front garden or a back garden or a bit of driveway or a bit of patio, go, you know, that's brilliant. If you don't, get a bit of masking tape and do out your hopscotch grid in your hall.
What do you use? We used to use an old polished tin filled with pebbles.
We talked about this before, right?
Sorry.
We were positively poverty stricken and we used just stones.
We just threw a stone. Well, there's nothing rich about having an empty polished tin now, Cúnac. Come on.
No, that's true. That's true.
Oh, we were rich. We had polish for our boots.
You couldn't.
Yeah. So that's a great idea. And I suppose I'm presuming people have chalk at home.
And indoors, if you want to use a bit of masking tape, actually, if you've any wooden floors or your tile floors, it works really well. It stays for ages, and you'll actually see the grown-ups kind of hopping and jumping as they walk through the room too.
Yeah. It might ruin the floorboards, might wear them down. I'm just thinking there. You know, some people are very house proud. Not mention any names. And now, so elastics.
Yeah, elastics. Again, one we used to spend hours playing, and you'd usually have now three of you or more playing elastics. And basically, it's an elastic loop. Two of the kids hold the elastics around their legs, and the other one jumps in and out of them, doing England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, inside, outside, donkey's tails. Now, I think one of the problems with the restrictions at the moment is oftentimes there might be a house with one kid in it or two kids, and yes, they don't have a lot of playmates. What you can do with the elastics is set it up in the kitchen, on the kitchen floor, put two chairs in to hold your elastics, and away you go. You can do it on your own.
Aha. You've just brought, I'm just reading ahead here, those fortune teller games, it's sort of a bit of origami and a bit of crack as well.
That's right.
Remind us about them. What were they called? What was it called?
Do you know, we never called them fortune tellers. And when you Google it, I'm not even sure what we used to call them. But they're little ones that lots of folding. And then you have to pick a colour and then a number. And then when you lift up the number, there's a fortune or a joke or a fact or something like that. And kids actually love spending time on these. If you let them off, and there's loads of videos on YouTube showing you how to do it.
Yeah, but if we don't know the name, Cúnac, if we don't know the name of it, how can we search it? On YouTube, we better get a name for it.
The Americans call them fortune tellers. So Google fortune tellers in your own way. Yeah, paper fortune tellers.
Paper folding
and
fortune
teller. And actually, they just did one. Moonshore Cleaner did one today on the RTE school.
There you go.
The hub. There you go. Oscar, I guess you did it.
Right. Okay. What else? What if you have a lot of people have tennis balls or bouncy balls around the place? That what did they call that thing where you used to throw it up against the wall and then twist around and catch it when it came back? All that stuff.
Sevens. We used to play a game called Sevens, where you just throw it up once and catch it seven times, and then you do throw it up and clap and catch it six times, and then something else five times, four times. And actually, it's a great game that kids can do at the back on their own and work on their their skills on their own, and they can spend ages doing it.
Right. Is there anything you can do on FaceTime or WhatsApp video or what, with maybe grandparents or cousins?
There are loads of things you can do. Yeah.
Go on.
There's a lot of pressure, I think, sometimes on the video chats where the grandparents just ask questions and the kids just answer them. And what they're missing out is kind of just being around each other. So a good kind of games to play, they can play charades by video chat, or they could even do a scavenger hunt or a treasure hunt if the grandparents want to move around their house with their phone and kind of show the kids what they're seeing. Or you could do Simon Says. You can bring in as much sort of physical exercise as you want.
Hangman.
Yeah. Or Battleship, all those games we used to play on paper.
Yeah.
Or you can even just take out a board game and the kids can throw and move throw the dice and move the counters for their grandparents. There's loads of stuff.
Okay.
We need to get a bit more creative.
We do. Katie Regan, we spoke to her on Friday, and Katie is from County Sligo, and her parents arranged a drive-by of all her friends. Because it was her birthday on Thursday.
Yeah. Wasn't it lovely?
So I'm conscious that there's loads of people all over the country who are missing out on birthday parties. Any suggestions for them?
Yes. Well, do you know, I think they should bring it back old school. And if the parents have to join in, so be it. Things like pass the parcel, blind man's buff, grape in flower, or even, and this used to we used to spend hours on this, blow up a balloon and try and keep it off the ground, guys.
Oh, keep it up in the air.
Ages.
Keep it up in the air.
The kids love
keep it up in the air. Keep it up in the air.
Exactly.
Is that annoying or what? Keep it up in the air. Keep it up in the air. Well, loads of suggestions there, Cunac. And is the book still in print? Red Rover, Games from an Irish
Absolutely.
Childhood.
Absolutely. And you know what? For the times in it, it's available as an e-book, right?
Okay. Cunac, thank you very much. Mind yourself. Stay safe.
Thanks, Ray. Bye. Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you too. Anish Toshin, I'm the Freef Skelton and Oakta, Mari Nihulawan. 51551 rayatorte.ie. That teacher was a breath of fresh air and made a lot of sense for many parents, says Annette. And applause for your teacher from Ennis, talking common sense to parents, keep everything in perspective, from former teacher Bridie in Cork. And fantastic rock of sense, Principal Katrina Golden. I agree with everything she said. Keep the children safe and let them play. They usually don't have half enough time to just play freely. Stop trying to entertain them. Let them learn to entertain themselves, says Anne Cal, who is a play therapist. And listen to the programme about exercises for the 70 plus age group. And I thought of my mum. In 1978, my mother was on the programme Going Strong. I remember Going Strong with Bunny Carr and Anne O'Dwyer. My mum was on doing exercises for the elderly groups in the audience. My mum and her friend were very into exercise and ran Keep Fit classes for local housewives in our area every Wednesday morning for many years. Then she was asked, would she do exercise in the local old folks centre one day a week? When that local old folks group was invited on the Going Strong show, she went as one of their activities and continued to do exercises on the show for quite a while after that. I do say she invented exercises for elderly people. I've attached newspaper cuttings she had kept. Isn't that lovely? That's from Jane Dobson. Lovely memories there of Going Strong and of your mum as well. Yes, it's week two of the All-Ireland Quiz. We're in a third way through round one. At the end of it all, we will have our All-Ireland Quiz champion. Very exciting. Five general knowledge questions each, and then there's a bit of a twist at the end. We will explain that when we get to it. Let's say hello to today's contestants. Representing Fermanagh, it's John Mohan. How you doing, John?
Ray, not too bad.
Whereabouts in Fermanagh are you? I'm good. Whereabouts in Fermanagh are you?
We're on the border near the village of Rosslea, and we share the parish with Clonus in County Monaghan.
Aha.
There's good rivalry.
Is there?
Yeah, very tight.
And does the border split the town? No.
No, we're in the village. We're actually in the countryside, and it splits the parish down the middle.
Right. What's your work?
We have a small shop here at home. A grocery shop, and it's trying times at the minute.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say you're very busy, are you?
Yeah, well, at the weekend, we're very, very busy Friday and Saturday, and we're sort of restricted customers coming into the shop, so we just take phone orders and do the deliveries on ourselves, especially with mostly elderly people in the rural area, and it helps with them.
So you they ring in and you deliver it out. That's a nice setup.
We deliver it out, yeah.
Yeah, great.
So it reduces the risk of contamination.
Yes,
We spray ourselves down and wear the gloves.
And obviously you're in a different jurisdiction the two governments are approaching it differently. So has that affected you in any way, shape or form?
I've been working in the food industry all my life and I've taken the strictest measures possible.
Right.
And we basically... I hate having to say it, but Leo has been good.
I'd say it. Why would you hate to say it? He has been good, yes.
No. I'm put it like this. It wouldn't be... as one says, we keep different parties.
Yes, you wouldn't be a natural Fine Gael supporter, right?
Oh, no, far from.
But credit where credit's due, I suppose. Isn't that
yes,
it?
Yes, I would give credit.
Yeah, yeah. And are you not allowing anybody into the shop? Is that the way you're doing it, John?
We're restricting, yeah, if somebody calls, we just let them stay outside and we bring the groceries out.
Oh, right, right.
Stuff
okay.
like that. So trying to make stuff as safe and as reasonable as possible for everybody.
And how long has the shop been there?
Only 139 years.
Only? How many generations would that be?
It's the fourth generation.
Oh, that's brilliant. And is it Mohan?
Mohan Shop, John Mohan.
John Mohan,
great grandfather.
Great to have you on the quiz, John.
Thanks.
Now, you're up against Una Duffy from across the border in Monaghan. How are you doing, Una?
Good, thanks, Ray. How are you?
Good. That's a great line. That's a great line there. What's your story?
Well, I'm on my maternity leave now at the moment. I just had a baby a month ago.
Oh, congratulations. Yeah.
Thanks very much. Yeah.
And was that your first child?
No, it's my third, actually. I have Aoife and Ronan as well.
And what age are they?
Aoife is three and Ronan is one.
Right. So you've three children under the age of four.
Yeah, it's grand. It's lovely, actually. It's really nice. Like, at least they're, you know, they seem to be getting on well so far anyway. Like, there's no major arguments.
Great. So is it, two boys, two girls and a boy?
Two girls and a boy, that's right, yeah.
All right. So Emer is the new baby, is it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Emer, Aoife and Ronan, right.
Yeah.
And what do you do when you're not having babies?
I'm an accountant.
You're an accountant.
It's very different.
Right, okay. Would your colleagues now be working from home, Una?
Yeah, oh gosh, yeah. They're all working from home like now for quite some time, I'd say, like into the unknown, as we say. But it's funny times, isn't it?
Yes, crazy times, isn't it? Yeah. John, back to you. Just a quick question I forgot to ask you. Have you ever represented your county at anything?
Oh, a bit of football, years ago.
Oh, otherwise you're on the Fermanagh team, were you?
I was only on the panel. I didn't make the team.
Ah, that's fine. We'll take that. Okay, stand up for your...
Best luck, Una.
Your
same to you, John.
Una, have you represented your county at anything over the years?
Well, this is a bit cringe, but yeah, in a band that I was in La Hague, Sean Mullen, the CCE band, we represented our county many times, but we won three All-Ireland medals.
Yay! Go on.
Yay, so,
well, you're doing it again now. John, if you'd stand up there for your county anthem, here we go.
I will hear Lake Water falling on my own log and shore. Memories of Enniskillen will linger when I'm gone.
There you go.
God save Fermanagh.
Leaving Enniskillen from Barleycorn. Una, it's your turn. Stand up there. The town of Ballybay.
In the town of Ballybay, there lived a lassie dwelling. I knew her very well, her stories were the telling. Her father had a still, he was a good a stiller. But when she took the drink, sure the devil wouldn't fill her. We ring a ding a dong, we ring a ding a tabby o, we ring a ding a dong, call the tabby o.
Oh, the bay. I was going to say the Bay Seat Rollers, the Dublin City Ramblers. There we definitely Okay, five questions each, John and Una. And when we get to the fifth question, you can go for a 3-pointer or a 1-pointer. Good luck to you both. Bit of attention. All right, John. You have to answer a question on Monaghan to start. Barry McGuigan is one of Monaghan's sporting heroes, but what year did his father, Pat, represent Ireland at the Eurovision Song Contest? 1965, 1968 or 1971?
I think it was 68.
It was 68 with a song called Chance of a Lifetime. That's a good start.
Yeah.
Pat McGeegan. Right, a question about Fermanagh for you, Una. Which of these actors was born in County Fermanagh? Kenneth Branagh, Adrian Dunbar, or Stephen Ray?
Adrian Dunbar?
Is the correct answer.
Correct.
Well done. He was born in Enniskillen in 1958. Now, question number two for you, John, representing Fermanagh. What number bus is mentioned in the song Summer in Dublin by Bagatelle? Is it the 46, the 46A, or the 46B?
46B, sir.
No. It's the 46A. I was singing a song I heard somewhere called Rock and Roll Never Forgets when my humming was smothered by a 46A and the scream of a low flying jet. Okay, still early days. No reason to fret. Una, your second question. What year was the famous sculpture of Phil Lynott unveiled on Harry Street in Dublin? 1999, 2003 or 2005?
2003.
It was 2005, 19th of August. Sure. Okay, one all. Back to you, John. Sleave Dunard is the highest peak in which mountain range? The Mourne Mountains.
The Mourne.
Oh, yeah, right.
The
okay, Mourne. I was going to give you a choice. Mourne Mountains is the correct answer. There you go. In Lake Flynn.
Right.
Una, Lough Nacuilla is the highest peak in which mountain range? Wicklow Mountains, Bluestack Mountains, or Black Stairs Mountains? Lough Nacuilla.
Black Stairs?
No, it's Wicklow. Right. Okay. Audio question next. John, question number four. Which ex-member of Boyzone is this?
For me, it was a simple case of I dabbled with a few darker side of the things. As you said, as I was coming on there, I kind of played around with Ouija boards and seances.
Who's that?
I take a guess at Shane Lynch.
It is Shane Lynch. Yes, it is. Now, Una, similar question for you. Which ex-member of Boyzone is this?
We started years ago when we were kids trying to be tough.
Yeah, yeah.
To be honest. When you're in a boy band, when you're a kid, you know, you want to toughen up yourself as best you can any other way you can, you know.
Who's that?
Good old Keith Duffy.
It is good old Keith Duffy. Now, here we are, lads. After four questions, John, you're on three. Una, you're on two. So, John, you have a choice of going for the point question, playing it safe. But then if Una goes for the three-pointer, she can beat you if she gets it right.
I'll go middle of the road. Go for two.
Go for the three-pointer. It's a three-pointer.
Go for the three-pointer.
Fermanagh needs a goal. Okay, here it is.
Come on now.
For 3 points. For 3 points to bring Fermanagh into the second round. Which county won a hurling All-Ireland first? Galway, Offaly, Clare or Waterford? For 3 points.
Waterford.
It wasn't. It was Clare. Okay, 1914, Galway 1923, Offaly 1981 and Waterford 1948. Now, Una, John is on three. You can go for a one-pointer, get it right and force a tiebreaker, or you can go for the three-pointer, all or nothing. If you get it right, you win and Monaghan and yourself are into the second round. What's it going to be?
Oh, well, it's for Monaghan, so definitely three.
Three-pointer. Okay,
yeah.
Radio. Good luck with this. Which county won a football All-Ireland first? Kerry, Wexford, Galway or Meath?
I'll go with Kerry.
It was Wexford. 1893. Kerry was 1903. Hard luck, Una. We're going to send you out a Radar Show mug. You're great fun. Mind yourself and the kids, Emer, Aoife and Ronan. Hard luck to you and to Monaghan.
Okay.
All right, thanks a million. Yeah, thanks, John. All the best. Bye-bye.
Have a good time.
Yeah. John, well done. You've brought Fermanagh and yourself into the second round. We'll be talking to you in the coming weeks.
We're going to the back door.
This is knockout. This is straightforward. No complications. Right. Well done,
all
John.
Right.
Great talking to you. Bye now.
Thanks.
Bye.
From Adrum Sea. All right.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Eleanor has been on Twitch. Says, myself and my niece Heather, who's 10, have set each other a challenge of learning sign language. She picks three words, then it's my turn. As we can't hug or see each other as often as we'd like, this challenge is great fun for FaceTime. Grandparents can join in and sign through windows. Aha, that's a nice one, Eleanor. Thank you very much for that. Still more praise coming in for Katrina. We're going to be talking to Conor Pope in a moment, but we have time to play a little bit of relaxing, soothing music.
Thank you.
That's nice, isn't it? In a Lifetime. That's Clonard and Bono. And I think we've put up our Calm Spotify playlist. There's about 4 hours of calming music there. If it's not up, it'll definitely be up tomorrow. Now, Conor Pope is on the line. How are you doing, Conor?
How are you doing, Ray? I think the whole world needs your Spotify calming playlist, don't they? Everybody is so stressed all the time. And it's impossible to avoid this story. It's literally everywhere. And it's nice to be able to even have 3 minutes. I was just thinking, listening to that song, it's nice to have 3 minutes when you're just not focused on this particular story.
It's a nice playlist, actually. And it's up there if people want to download it or whatever they do. Now, we were talking to you last week and then Leo Varadkar took over. We were, of course, talking about holidays and people flying here, there and everywhere and up and able to and getting their money back. So I have a sample of two things. I'll just read them out to give people a flavour of what's going on and then you can tell us what the story is. Conor, I was supposed to travel to New York on April 9th with Aer Lingus. The US authorities won't let non-Americans in, but Aer Lingus are still flying into the country and the airline won't refund me. I got an email from them giving me a choice of a travel voucher with an extra 10% or I can change my dates. At the moment, I don't know where I stand with work as I'm one of the thousands of people who are out of work. In these difficult times, the refund will be gratefully received. I have travel insurance, but they are not paying out either. I was traveling with my wife and son and the cost was €1,700. And then another one here. We were due to fly to Australia with British Airways last Saturday, 28th of March. However, at that point, Australian government had closed entry to everyone bar Australian citizens. We have tried numerous times to make contact with BA. Eventually last week, Thursday, 2 days before the scheduled flight, we got through and spoke with a BA rep who took details and promised that we would receive a call back. We've heard nothing back. Our booking was made through Jet Abroad, who have been uncontactable to date. As it turns out, the flight did depart, presumably with Australian citizens on board only. Also, our accommodation was booked through booking.com, who assure us that due to these circumstances, we could cancel for free. However, the accommodation is refusing to do so and will only offer a voucher valid for the next 15 months, which is useless to us. So where do we go from here? So there's a sample of the emails we got in today.
Yeah. And I have to say, they're two quite different stories, but they both share a common thread. And that common thread is that an awful lot of airlines across the world are simply putting in place too many obstacles and making it too difficult for people to get any class of refund, which is, in the normal courses of events, what they would get in circumstances like this. But there's a couple of different strands to it. So maybe I could talk about the Aer Lingus issue first. Now, since earlier this month, the Trump administration has put in a travel ban, which means people from the European Union, people from Ireland can't travel to the United States. So if I have a ticket as an Irish passport holder to go to America with Aer Lingus, I can't travel. But what Aer Lingus has been doing for a lot of its transatlantic flights is it has been running them irrespective of whether or not there's actually many people or any people on those flights. And if the flights take off as scheduled, then under the law, you're not entitled to a refund. Okay?
Right.
So that's the first point.
Are they doing that on purpose? Well, I sound like a child now. Are you doing that on purpose?
I don't want to ascribe motives to what they're doing, but certainly it is working in their advantage because they don't have to give refunds. So what they've done instead is they've said they will give people vouchers or they will allow them to rebook at another date. Now, in the case of this listener, that's not much good because he was traveling on a family holiday with his wife and child, £1,700. He's now lost his job. So the last thing that he's going to be thinking about in the days and weeks ahead is probably a holiday in New York.
Yes.
So that's another punch. Another thing that Aer Lingus has been doing in recent times is people who have had flights with Aer Lingus in Europe have struggled to get what is legally their entitlement. And under the law, under European-wide law, under a regulation that we've talked about many times on the show, EU261, people are entitled to a refund or a rebooking if a flight is cancelled. But what Aer Lingus is doing is it's sending out emails to people saying the flight has been cancelled. You can book here to you can click here to rebook at a different date. You can click here to get a voucher. And then underneath that, there's a thing saying for more terms and conditions as to your rights, follow this link. The third link is the most important link, because the third link is the link that eventually, when you get through all the terms and conditions, you find out that if a flight is cancelled by Aer Lingus, you are legally entitled to a refund.
Okay.
End of story. It's the same with all other airlines. While they're under huge pressure, your rights as a citizen, your rights as a European citizen, have not been diminished as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. That means, and I've spoken to the European Consumer Centre, I've spoken to the Competition and Consumer Protection Commission and the Commission for Aviation Regulation, and if a flight is cancelled, an airline is obliged to respect passenger rights and give them a refund. End of story. However, the difficulty is if a flight isn't cancelled, well then, in normal circumstances, if you couldn't go as a result of some extraordinary circumstances,
illness or something like that,
you could claim onto your travel insurance.
Yes.
But of course, the travel insurance companies have an awful lot of, and again, I didn't know this until a week or 10 days ago. One of the things buried in the terms and conditions of an awful lot of travel insurance policies is it excludes payouts in the event of a pandemic. Now, of course, pandemics are so rarely declared by the World Health Organization. And the fact that this term could be buried in amongst 29,000 other words in a very long,
but it's there.
Yeah. And that means that somebody is not going to be able to claim under their travel insurance in many circumstances.
Is that all travel insurance or?
Not all travel insurances, okay, but in a lot of them. So what I would suggest to listeners, and this is nothing by way of comfort, the first thing you'd need to do if you have travel insurance is open up the terms and conditions and go control F on your computer and look for the word pandemic.
My word.
And at least then it might take you to that term and condition.
Yes.
And it might at least then you'll know if it's excluded.
And what about an act of God? We're hearing a lot about that. You know, wasn't that the volcano ash that time?
I think for the benefit of the atheists out there, I think they've retired the phrase act of God. But some insurance policies exclude things of that nature. But the key thing to look out for is if there's a pandemic declared by the World Health Organization, in many policies, it means people aren't covered. So the only thing I would say to the people who are traveling to the United States is that a lot of the time the flights get cancelled. So in essence, what airlines are doing, and it's not just British Airways and Aer Lingus, it's KLM, it's Emirates, it's Etihad, it's airlines all over the world, are putting obstacles in people's ways because they feel they have no choice, because they're totally on their uppers. They're facing into a crisis of unimaginable proportions themselves. So what they want to do is they want to be able to give people vouchers that they might be able to use in the future. And listeners to your show and readers of the Irish Times have contacted me to say they were delighted with the vouchers, because typically what airlines are doing is they're offering you the value of your fare plus 10%. So people think, okay, well, I spent £1,000 on my flights, now I'm getting €1,100 back, so I'd be able to use them at a future point. And the thing I would stress is that with those vouchers, you do have a 5-year window in which to use them, because it's not like the old days when the vouchers could expire after a year or there was all sorts of restrictions. Thanks, by total coincidence, to the Department of Enterprise just before Christmas, they changed the rules on vouchers.
Just
so at least if somebody gets a voucher, they can use it for a long time.
So New York person, €1,700, legally they're entitled to that back. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying the New York person, if the flight isn't cancelled,
right,
Aer Lingus doesn't have to give them the money back.
Okay, right.
So you have to wait and see.
It's a wait and see there. It's a wait and see.
And you might be waiting up until 2 hours before your departure. And if you don't claim the voucher at that point, you might lose it all. So it really is a game of chicken that airlines are playing with consumers.
Okay.
It's not fair. It's terribly unfortunate. And I think sometimes you'd hope they'd step up to the plate and do something a little bit different.
And what about the BA one?
The difficulty, and this actually really crystallizes the problems when you book your own holidays through multiple different channels, virtual channels, websites that are based in overseas jurisdictions, even making contact with companies.
Yeah, so they were Jet Abroad and Booking.com.
There's Jet Abroad, Booking.com and BA. So there's three different strands to that. They need to keep pushing Booking.com, because Booking.com were the people who said they could get the refund. And like Airbnb stepped up to the plate and said anybody who had a booking with Airbnb would get a refund off their hosts, Booking.com have to pursue the companies that they've been doing business with.
Is it with Booking.com or is it with the accommodation?
Is with Booking.com.
Okay.
It's whoever you've given the money to. So they gave the money to Booking.com. So their contract is with booking.com. Now, that doesn't mean they can't contact the hotel if they so choose, but it's up to booking.com to resolve the issue. And if booking.com have said they were entitled to a refund, well, then booking.com has to pursue the company and get the refund for them. And that's just basic consumer law. But the reality is that basic consumer law has kind of gone out the window
for
an awful lot of companies.
And a lot of companies are going to go out of business, so they won't be able to pay people.
Exactly. And again, it's down to the fact that we're living through unprecedented times. So we still need to fight on behalf of consumers, and we still need to do whatever we can to highlight what travel companies, like other companies, are doing. But the reality is, we've never been here before.
I suppose the question that people are asking is, where is my money now? Do you know what I mean? If you paid €1,700 to Aer Lingus for tickets, where is that money now?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it could be like, for instance, there's two ways of looking at it. There's a very cash-rich company, Ryanair, that has a lot of money, and what it did was probably, you know, they should be held up as the right thing to do, because they just said, we're cancelling all our flights, or 90% of our flights in April and May, and you can all have your money back.
All right, right.
So they've done that,
and people are looking, you know, whoever Lingus tickets at that, and they're going, why can't we be the same? So it's different strokes for different folks,
it all depends on how much money you have.
Okay,
and it all depends on, and of course the other victims in this, and I just think it's important to point out, the tour operators and the travel agents are victims in this as well, because a lot of people will have paid for holidays through travel agents. Then they obviously go back to their travel agent and say, can we have our money back? But the airlines aren't giving the travel agents the money back. Okay. So the airline, the travel agents become are left in a really difficult position. And as I say, we just have to...
It's a big mess.
Consumers, passengers, okay, they have to keep pushing it. And it will get resolved eventually.
Conor, thanks very much. And we will be talking again soon. That's Conor Pope there. That's it from us. We're back tomorrow at 3 o'clock when Kerry and Roscommon will take on each other in our All-Ireland quiz. And if you want to register your interest there, it's allirelandquiz@rte.ie. Philip Boucher-Hayes is on the way. We're back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Monday evening.